Lewis Perry had volunteered to help me. I really appreciate his help. My title is this: A Servant to the Deaf. Honestly, I'm honest with you, I thought I understood this a long time ago. Understood the worldview. That was fine. But I went through many experiences living with my family and friends in the community, worked with young people through the family relationship and the relationship at the university, the church also, till I went to Sunset and began the study. Now, thankful, I'm really thankful Hollis and Bob, both my teachers for 3 years. Imagine seeing both faces over and over and over again and learning from them. And last, I became like them. The three are close brothers now. Plus, I'm taking lessons from other hearing teachers with these two as interpreters also. So really, I want to thank these two. And after I've learned at Sunset, they gave me... This is Sunset. That's a sign. If you're not sure of my sign, what this means, then I'm happy to clarify, okay? The sign for SIBI, Sunset, that's what it is. And they gave me tools of how to become familiar with the Bible itself, plus the way to investigate and help me to better understand the Bible. So, the word servant really has changed my view now. We'll see as we go on what I mean. In Matthew 20, 26th verse, maybe if you have your Bible with you, that'd be fine. You can use, if not, I'm going to type the verse for you or have it on the screen here. It says, but it should not be that way with you. Should not be that way with you. What does that mean? What have I done in the past? Maybe it shouldn't be that way. It should be changed. Whoever wants to be your leader must be your servant. I looked at that. It may be, that's just a few words in the sentence there. But you know, that made me realize that Jesus came here from heaven, came here not to punish us, but to save us. You understand, Jesus liked what? He liked to serve us. He didn't say, look at me, I am your leader. So that he says this. And I realized, and I considered, I made me think more as we go on. Here's my outline, the background, the basis, the introduction, meaning I'm going to tell you a story a little bit later. Then I'm going to look at what does the word servant mean. I'll tell you a little more deeply there. Then I'm going to answer the question, what does the Bible say about a servant? Then I'm going to go and say, how does that apply to us? Okay? And then I'll have a conclusion, summarizing what we've studied. I'd like to tell you the introduction now. Let me tell you a story. Today, as I look back for the past 34 years, I've been working as a leader. You can figure out how old I am now, maybe. You know, I don't have anything to hide, okay. But I've been a leader in the deaf community for 34 years. In the black community means a lot of people in that community, in the deaf community in general, okay? In the East, you notice in the East. Pennsylvania, New York, North Carolina, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, etc. All those are in the East. I felt that was a good experience, really. It's not complete, and why? Right now, I often look back myself. I often said, what have I accomplished? I have a good resume. It can speak for itself, but I'm going to push that to the side and go on and say, since I've graduated last year in May 2007 from Sunset, I looked at the verses again and again and again from time to time. And not only did I realize that, wow, what a great sacrifice I've made. That's for me, white people, deaf people, old people, very, very, they all helped, included my sisters and brothers and those that needed to help me, I was willing, all those experiences. Last I could say, I sacrifice I made, that is, gave myself up as a leader, then I must now learn how to be their servant. Yes, thank you. I want to thank God that the Bible itself helps me. Okay? Oops. Okay. It's that same verse we already read before. That verse is a simple verse, but it hits me. Not that I think I'm a leader. But to be a leader takes a lot of courage. Though inside, you may have fear because you can't prophesy what can happen or what will happen because you don't know. You hope better. You hope for the better. You hope success. But sometimes you get hit and you fail. So, after going to Sunset, I studied and studied. And I need to be more humble. Yes. You see, will you help me? Or help you? Sure. Okay. How can I help you? Never forget one experience. I'll give you an example. In Virginia, I went to a place for something then. Came out with my wife, the two of us were walking, and a woman, hearing woman, came up to me, tapped me on the shoulder, said, do you mind helping me? I said, I thought maybe a car broke down or something. I said, well, what's wrong? You need trouble with your car? I opened the hood, and later the woman was a little bit guilty. I said, what's wrong? She said, no, it's not the car. Well, come on, the woman said, I need a place to stay. Oh, I didn't know who that woman was. I didn't know what to do. I could say, oh, no. In my heart, wait a minute. My wife, okay, invite this woman for the night. My wife said, does she know sign language? I doubt it. She's a hearing woman. Doesn't matter. You know sign language? Oh, no. I don't know. You are deaf? The woman, wait a minute. I talk. Nope, she doesn't know sign language. I don't know who that person is, my wife said. I don't know about this. I wish she could say yes, but she, I went back. I told the woman, I'm sorry. You mind if I help refer you to the YWCA or the Red Cross or maybe a church right over there? Gave you a place, referred her to. The woman said, I already know. You already know? What's wrong? They didn't accept? No. That's enough. Thank you. Go ahead. I'll wait for two more weeks. I'll live in the car until the place becomes available. Whoops. Okay, I'm going to ask. Let it go. And I went. And in my mind, I thought, I hope that she's fine. I'll find out later. she's a professional person, a little bit proudful to go to those places. People are very successful. When they fall or fall down, they hide. They don't want any other people to know that they're hiding. 2 weeks. Then she'll be back. All right. I wish I could have helped, but life goes on. What does the word servant mean to you? I looked in the dictionary and I looked at the Bible. A servant can be a waiter. You go to a restaurant and you see the servant. You look at the book. Hey, I like my coffee and I like my water and I like a hamburger, whatever. Okay. A servant could be assistant. Now, Lewis Perry, perfect example. He's here, my assistant. He's helping me. Thank you for serving me. In both ways, I'm helping him and he's helping me. See? I hope that we will do the same, okay? All of us. Maybe a cleaning lady in a hotel. Hotel. Some people, they look and everything's so clean and it's so nice. They go downstairs and they say to the manager, "Wow, this is a very nice place. May I have the card to fill out? Let the manager know that the room is excellent. If it's not fine, you can say what's wrong. There's dirt over here, maybe in the towel or something." And they can call him immediately. They bring you a clean towel and give you service. That's what that is. Servant can be a helper in general. Anybody helps you, they're considered a servant. Could be a slave. Long time ago, they had slaves. You must obey the master. Would you like to be a slave? That's not important. You have to watch the attitude. If you obey your master, God will be with you. If the boss is mean, and you're very patient, and you do your work, later the boss, why didn't you quit? Oh, no. Really, I don't like that boss, but I have to tell the positive. I love you. Whoops, you make me sick. Yeah, you don't love me. How do you love me? I mean to you. I'm a Christian. Really? You're a Christian. What happens to the boss? Maybe he feels guilty. And he begins to strain. Maybe even slowly. He doesn't want to show, you're a Christian. How are you? You become a Christian. Not fast. You want to become a Christian? Same church, the boss. No. A person's slave must be very patient. Patient. And it will pay off later. A government worker. A lot of government people who work. People who work for the government. How many of you have? You are servants, you're supervisors in various jobs. Could be a public employee, like cable company, provide services for the TV in your home. Could be electrician or somebody delivers gas or brings your phone to you, that kind. Can't see the last one. Public servants. A public servant. We'll go on to the next slide. A minister is a servant. Some preachers here, they like to be called pastor. That means, the ruler over maybe. We don't like that. We like the word minister. It really means a servant. A mover. I'm planning to move from Lubbock to here. We better let a professional person come and move everything. I looked at her. Why? Well, I treasure your health, and you're not young anymore. I'm not a young man anymore, really? Oh. You tell my wife I love to serve. I love to do all the things, and I need to exercise. My wife says, well, okay. I love you. If you want to do that, okay. I'm looking at her. You sit and rest, and I warn, get up with the people, and you get the light things. The woman that can carry, they all agree, and you can pack it all, and the men will do the heavy things, and we'll show that we can do it. Like we did before. We moved from Fairfax. 30 people helped us load up one truck. We thought one would be enough. Full. Uh-oh. What am I going to do? Elders came and helped. Even elders in the church came. I was very impressed. They, two choices. Leave it everywhere or get a second truck. Oh. Okay. So, sure. So hearing people went, sat outside or ordered pizza and everything like that, and they were eating and drinking and everything, chatting, fine. With one hearing friend, we went and got a second truck and found a lucky deal the last minute. That truck was a shift truck. I found one that was, automatic. I didn't want a shift truck. I don't know how to shift. I don't want that. My friend said, I know how. I know how to do it. Imagine here, Virginia, all the way to Texas. You going to go with me all the way? He said, I can't do that. I work schedule. That's right. So we better call around. And we found one at the last minute, the last truck. That was automatic. We found one. We accepted that. We brought it over. And my son, young man, heard, Dad, planned to move Virginia to Texas. My son was in Dallas. He himself was ambitious. He flew perfect to where I was. Dad, you're crazy. How are you going to drive two trucks? I looked at him. I told him I hadn't planned that yet, but you saved my life. You'll drive one. That's why I'm here. I love you, Dad. And so I smiled a little bit and accepted that. I love you, too. And so we kissed and did well. And I was kind of embarrassed inside. But though my son came alone, he did. He brought his friend, his roommate, another guy. So that Spanish guy never had been out of Texas before, except went to Mexico to visit his family. My son brought him with him. The two of them flew, and then he said, wow, your father's deaf? Can he afford two trucks? Does he have that much money? He can help himself. Many people are all here helping him. He looked at all of that. My son says, yes, that's my dad. No, I've been with him all my life, grew up with him. You know. My son's second truck, they would take turns driving. It was a small 15-foot truck, and the first truck was a bigger 26-foot truck. I would be the lead truck, and he would follow me. Fine. Wow. I loved him for that. It's my son helped me. That's a servant, okay? A servant could be a negotiator. Negotiator, it may be, for example, in Iraq, there's a war going on for 5 years, a long time. President Bush went over there and tried to negotiate less, make a victory there, peace there. He'd come. I missed that one. Oh, McCain also is going over there trying to serve the same way. Thank you. They're trying to make peace. If there's no peace there, we have no peace here. You know, it's sad. So you're trying to help each other. As people here, you and I, we're learning how to become servants. The more you give, then help others, the more God will bless you. I found that is very, very true. Lewis Perry can say the same thing. Yes, he says amen. Maybe an officer, police officer, or a captain should be officer, army officer, navy officer, police, protection and service. You notice that's what it is. You can tell a good and bad police or cop. Imagine you drive along, you make a mistake, going too fast, cop gets behind you, you pull over, cop says, why are you going so fast? I was in a hurry, I'm going to the hospital. I have a good reason. You need help? Really? Medical emergency? Yes. Right back and forth. Really? You're deaf? And the guy, let me get a pad. I wrote down what it's going to be. Okay. Just a minute. Goes back. You come follow me. And now I can hurry, get there, and then he takes off. Wow. The deaf are skilled to know how to flatter the police and get them the help. They didn't know, but they accepted it. Woo, the deaf are skilled. I know some deaf that they boast about how they get by with the police. Woo, smooth talker. There's a long list from deaf people that taught me what to do. Oh, and I want to be very careful. I've used it a few times. Now a promoter, a servant. Promote a product or whatever. And a representative. I'm thinking of like Republicans and Democrats. I want to ask you to yell out, it's a competition, it's hot competition. Republicans are hoping that they go down. The Democrats are over there, oh, no. They're being very stubborn. Because they all want to become president. And they want to support the deaf and give service for us in the future. We'll see what happens. And a servant could be a substitute, like assistant, to help the teacher. Or a preacher's helper, or like an assistant preacher, maybe. A servant could be also an aide in general and a follower. How many people like to follow? That's good. How many people like to lead? Okay. Really? Right or wrong? There's no right or wrong in it. It's all right to be a leader, all right to be a follower. Many years as a leader, it's been my experience. Hey, you do this for me. You do this for me. For me. You do this for me. You do this for me. Hey, you do this for me. Ooh, I'm willing. Sure, I'm willing. Willing. And after a while, you're very patient. Jesus says, you look up to him as a leader, and then that straightens you back up again. Jesus is right there sharing the burden with you. And every time I think of Jesus, then I'm willing. If I don't think about Jesus, smile. Oh, well, I'm happy to help. I know my attitude is wrong, and I go back. My conscience bothers me a little bit. I made a mistake. Next day, I'll do better. Okay? Now, if you see me move here, best behavior, you can evaluate me and say, are you all right? I say, yes. How about why? Remember, you made that lecture on servants. Oh, thank you. I remembered that, okay? I will remember it. Okay, now, what does the Bible say about a servant? I'm progressing pretty well. Matthew 20, verse 20. Mother asks for a special favor. mother? We'll read the story. Then Zebedee's wife came to Jesus and brought her two sons. And she bowed down before Jesus and asked to do something for her. And Jesus said, how do you think Jesus responded? Let's see. You know who Zebedee is first. He's a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee and the father of James and John, two of Jesus' first disciples. And this, the wife is the one that came to Jesus. Let's see what happens. The application. The three, the mother, met Jesus, humbly bowed, and begged Jesus, meaning she knows that Jesus is something very valuable, very important, and the two sons wants the son to be one at the right hand and one at the left hand, equal with Jesus' power. That's what the mother wanted. The mother of James and John came to Jesus and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. She gave Jesus worship, but her real motive was to get something from Jesus. Too often, this happens in our churches and in our lives. We do the same thing today compared to what was going on then. We play religious games expecting God to give us something in return. True worship, however, adores and praises Christ for who he is and what he has done. Jesus himself is courageous to come here. He listened to his father. His father told Jesus, go to the world. Jesus, okay. He sacrificed or gave up all of his power, his home, his everything there, and humbled himself to come to the earth to save us. What Jesus suffered and became as a man, he grew up to be man. He died on the cross to forgive our sins. Wow. Now, what does the Bible say more about a servant? In Matthew 20:21, Jesus said, what do you want? Still talking to that one, that mother, still talking to her. The mother asked, and Jesus answered. He already knew, but anyway, he wants the mother herself to explain what she wants. And the mother said, promise that one of my sons will sit at your right and in your kingdom, and the other on your left. That wasn't a proper request, but Jesus very humbly said, what do you want? Jesus already knew what the mother was asked for something. Now the application. Can you imagine what mother here, any mothers here would come up and say the same thing? Would you do me a favor? What do you want? My children are having problems. Will you help me with them? In private, we might communicate. But here, is open. We read this. When I moved here, I will be humble and respect any deaf or hard of hearing person, even the hearing that come to me and ask for help. I'm going to be willing. I will help. Private, I will talk to in private. Learn to be humble. Maybe ask, do you mind coming to my home? Where's your home? Are you married? alone? Oh, wait a minute. You mind? I'll bring my wife with me. We'll go there and visit. We'll see what I can do to help and go that way. Okay? I would think that Jesus thought that the mother was out of line. That was not right for her. Note that Jesus replied bluntly to the mother. Very blunt in his response. You know what happened? Let's see what happens. Scripture indicated, that means that the mother wants something from Jesus. The mother really wanted her two sons equal with Jesus. And now we'll see Jesus' response. So now Jesus, but Jesus turned to respond to the two boys. The mother asked a request, but Jesus talked to the two sons. You don't understand what you are asking. The two sons are looking to the mother. Oh boy, we're going to get what we want. Jesus will agree. Jesus asked us a question. Why didn't Jesus respond to the mother? No, Jesus responded to the two boys. Can you drink from the cup that I must drink? What's that name? Cup means suffering. Cup of suffering. The two young boys looking at Jesus, did they understand what Jesus was saying? I don't think so. What's their application? Jesus already knew that they didn't understand. But still Jesus asks, do you know what you're asking? Maybe the two, like us, you know, deaf talking to hearing person, and I like Gordon, I'll use him as an example. Deaf asks, Gordon, hey, I need your help for something. And Gordon says, wait a minute now. You need help. I'm glad to help, but you mind going to the church office and showing that the people in the church? Maybe they will help you. Do they fully understand him? Okay, I go over there to the church office. Okay. He understands fine. They go to the church office, the people there, do they know the sign language? No. So the deaf come in and say, hey, and the secretary said, what? How are you? Oh, you're deaf. Okay, wait a minute. They gave the paper to them and felt uncomfortable, and they're too embarrassed, and so they gave a bill. The secretary looked at the bill. Oh, wait a minute. I know, just a minute. Sit down right over there. Okay. They find, show it to this person. The preacher looks at it. Well, okay. And goes, and they can't communicate. One time, willing, okay. They copy, you go on home, and we'll happily help you, okay? Okay? That's taken care of. The deaf, okay, it felt good. They felt relieved. They go home. They thought, and they keep on managing and managing, but happen again. The deaf don't know what to do. Again, they don't have to meet Gordon this time. They go straight to the church office. They know, come in, and the secretary, I show you the bill. Secretary, okay, wait a minute, sit down. Takes it in to the preacher. The preacher, again. I'm going to call Gordon and have them all come over here. The second time it helped, oh, maybe not. I think so, but I don't know. We'll see what happens after that. That's a different meaning. When I move here, I'm going to work with you, with the deaf, and help to be more strict in understanding and helping each other and lift up our ability to help with gas or electricity or water or the various things. I know you feel the economic, all of us feel the economic punch. Okay. Yeah, me too. And so we'll pray for help. Okay. The cup here is a symbol of suffering. That's what Jesus is trying to explain to them. The two sons don't understand. So Jesus is patient and blunt to the two sons. Jesus used the art of drinking. He knew his rough time was coming. Man, Jesus would suffer for us as people. But the sons did not understand that. But Jesus would accept it. And the sons answered. They both said, yes, we understand. Really, they did not. Hearing people do that sometime, yeah, I can do it. And Jesus said, are you sure? You can suffer. In the back of his mind, he knows that they really cannot. I'm going to die for those and for all the people. Jesus is very humble. We are like the two sons. I'm going to move here. I would tell Gordon, he would tell me something. I'm going to, make a smile. Can I do that? I'm going to be honest. Wait a minute. I don't understand. Explain it more carefully to me. Give me more details. Be open with each other and honest. There'll be less misunderstanding. There we are. These two sons really did not know what they're getting into. But Jesus had in his mind. They were both hearing. They did not catch what Jesus meant. Continuing on. Next verse 23, this is what Jesus said. It is true that you will drink the cup that I drink from, but it is not for me to say who will sit my right or my left. My Father has decided who will do that. He has prepared those places for them. With the application. It says, whatever Jesus says, he says, it's from the Father. The two boys think that Jesus himself would speak. Jesus talked, and he's taking language from the Father. He's telling what the Father is. Very interesting. Now, the Father makes the decision. He's the leader in heaven. He will decide. That's not based on favoritism. Earth, we have to be very careful. Hearing, hard of hearing, deaf, we show favoritism. We must be very careful. Jesus, I guess I missed it. Sorry. Verse 24. Other people were looking. The other followers were watching. Like deaf people, you see two deaf going to church to get help. And finished, they come out, the other deaf looking. Wow. Oh, you got your problem solved. Really? That church helped you? Oh, what about me? What about me? Will it help me too? Really? They go. Not okay, maybe, or okay. Important that we kind of help each other and cooperate. Really need help, we deserve it. But to take advantage of people, no, we have to be very careful. We need to work together as brothers and sisters in Christ and share. I feel that this community, hearing knows, they have to be careful and communicate. But they have deaf, can't communicate with deaf. So if you're from a different church, please help each other, brothers and sisters in Christ. He doesn't care what the name of the church you're from or where you're from. What's important is all of us are brothers and sisters helping each other. And the more we help each other, the better the deaf community becomes. Hearing look at that and they say, wow, they appreciate and they want to help. Some hearing people have a heart for the deaf community. So instead, we as deaf need to be responsive back to the hearing in the same way. They are brothers and sisters in Christ. Want to learn the language? Help them. All of the deaf can become servants. Hearing can servants helping the deaf. Jesus does not like to see the deaf separated from the heart of hearing, the hearing separated from the hearing. Like he doesn't like to see white separated from the black or whatever. We must help each other. The worldly people look at that, all the brothers and sisters in Christ, they look at it. And they see the poor and those in trouble going to the church and getting help. But they survive and live well. The world people look at that. Wow. Hey, you're going to church. What's the name of that church, that place? The deaf, yes. Are you interested in coming to church with me? Come on, let's go. Deaf, how? Oh, we have interpreters. We have interpreters right there, really. One woman from the church, Park Plaza. I missed the P. Park Plaza. And they make a copy of the book. A copy for me, please. It's for my neighbor. Oh, for your neighbor. Okay. Went in, made a copy. Once a week, neighbor talks about what? Talk about what verses, what God's doing, make the copy of the note for the Sunday lesson, what Lewis Perry preached, or where I preach, or Gordon preaches, and she gets a copy of the papers, the sermon ready. You know, she has it like types it up something like this. Every Sunday, makes a copy and gives it to her neighbor. I want one more. I already know now. She's going to give it to her neighbor. She goes to her neighbor, and the neighbor reads it. That's what you learn. Yesterday and Sunday, church, okay. You want me to read this? Yes, okay. And the two of them start discussing in a nice way, community friends, and they help each other with small things that they need. They take care of that woman, helps everything to run. And the woman becomes more proud because she's loving her neighbor and helping her neighbor, and she's serving a neighbor. I thought it would be the other way, but that woman, the deaf, is helping. And she's receiving help by helping somebody else. And that hearing person now is learning a little bit of science and beginning to, maybe she'll come to our church someday. If not, maybe her own church. But still, God is blessing those who are saving one soul. The church today is in competition. I'm not interested in competition. I'm interested in pleasing God and saving souls. What does the Bible say about a servant? Matthew 20:25. So Jesus called the followers together. And Jesus already knew that the mother wanted something from Jesus, and the two sons wanted something. They wanted to be promoted or equal with Jesus on the right and the left. And all the other 10 followers are looking at that request, kind of upset. They don't like them doing the mother asking that question because they all want the same thing. So what happened? The followers are looking kind of angry. And Jesus then knows that. They're all looking at him angry and upset. So what does Jesus do? Calls them all in. And he said, you know that the ruler of the non-Jewish people love to show their power over people. That's a worldview. They love to be the leader, to have power, to control. But Jesus himself is different. He was very humble. And their important leaders love to use all their authority over the people. Now we know that we are followers of Jesus. All the followers, raise your hand, okay? That's beautiful. Now, you already know who is sweet and tender and willing to help people. And some are not. Ooh. Maybe this person thinks, you go take that responsibility. I'll follow you. You know, we have different people with different abilities. But we must not love to use our authority over our brothers and sisters and friends of Jesus. We are to follow Jesus' example. Like, Lord has already led me to do what? I respect him. His heart is big. He loves the deaf. All the deaf and hard of hearing. He mingles with the hearing too, but when I plan to come here, I'm going to see my twin brother right here, Gordon White. You know, we look the same. A little bit different. In spirit, we're the same, okay? I'll do my best to help him, and he's going to do his best to help me. Lewis Perry, oh, wonderful church, sent him away to school to become a student preacher, and every time he comes back hometown, there's improvement, there's improvement, there's improvement. And sisters and brothers here in Christ, please pray for Lewis. He needs all the prayer and help that he'll be successful. We want him to come back home with a new, don't want to come back with a long face. We don't want that. We're going to pray that he keeps Satan away. Satan's going to challenge him and try to get him to fail, but we're going to pray to help him to do the best he can. Therefore, we must be humble and become servants to the people. Is he mean to you? No. Somebody's mean to you? You may have a reason. He's had a bad day, or he had a fuss with his wife, or neighbor, or boss, or something. We Christians must learn every day to have a smile and think positive. Matthew 20:26, the last verse. Okay, we hurry here. Keep going. I need to hurry. Say that we should not be that way. You want to become a leader, you must think first about service. Go ahead. In verse 27, basically it says, if you want to become a leader, better humble yourself, become a servant first. That's what Jesus did, and all of his followers around. And remember, he washed his feet. God's Son washing my feet, remember? But Jesus taught us by serving. And he said, do as I do. He came not for people to serve him. He came to serve as many people as possible. He wanted to give his life for us. and to serve us. Let's see the last part, the conclusion here. We'll back up just a little bit. Okay, let's go on. Anyone, just hope that you learned something from this lesson today and you will share with other people at your church or hometown, deaf people, or anytime the deaf are upset, you know, oh, you're upset, how can I help you? We as Christians want to be willing to give our life. And Jesus loves all hard-hearted people. Jesus loves it all. We just have to be thankful that we have Jesus and he blesses all of us.